Hello, and welcome to your audio insight from hypnosisdownloads.com on how really listening can transform your life. I'm Roger Elliott of Uncommon Knowledge, and you might be expecting me to talk all about listening to other people in this audio insight, and you'd be partially right. Really doing that can be enough to transform relationships in and of itself, but there's more to listening than many of us realise. In this audio insight, I'll be talking about how there's much more to pick up in conversations than just words, and about the shift in consciousness that's required to really listen to your utmost capacity. Really listening enables us to pick up metacommunications from other people. Metacommunications are non-verbal means of communication, the way we might emphasize certain words, the way we look when we speak, the patterns of our communication. So if metaphor is the language of the unconscious mind, then listening to the way people communicate metaphorically is the path to understanding people's unconscious thoughts and beliefs. And to do that, we need to genuinely go from transmit to receive. When we do this, we listen not only to what people say with their words, but also to the things they tell us without even realizing it. We listen to a person's unconscious communication as well as what they consciously communicate. When we listen, we also observe, and when we observe, really observe, we can become wise. Wise in the sense that we can see what words, actions, or treatments might genuinely help others and have beneficial effects on our own and other people's lives. Only when we have truly listened to an event or a situation or person can we truly respond. The great psychiatrist and psychological healer, Dr. Milton Erickson, was a man who could really listen. In fact, intriguingly, his daughter Betty described her father as a man who would listen with his eyes. Paralyzed for a year as a teenage boy, Erickson was confined to a bed. During this time, he was constantly observing or listening with his eyes, and he developed a seemingly supernatural capacity to see what really motivated people and to understand what people were communicating beneath the more obvious narrative of their actual words. So the first part of really listening might be in really looking. I think we could all learn to listen with our eyes more. It might be possible for an observant deaf person to be a better listener than someone who can hear but doesn't. And in my opinion, this kind of deep listening is a world away from merely repeating those cliched words, "I hear what you're saying." But as I said, I want to extend the idea of listening. I want you to learn to listen not just to other people, but to life itself. Yes, I know that might sound a little way out, but just forget all those hippie connotations for a moment and let me explain. When we listen to what nature and life is telling us, we can learn to avoid mistakes, at least as much as possible. Sometimes when a client tells me that a job or a relationship or some other situation is insufferable, I might ask them what the message is. What's their response telling them? Now, this is not to say that our feelings always have to be acted upon, but if we can look at the situation calmly, we can pick up the messages from life that really are valid. Sometimes the best thing you can do is listen to the message of a situation. People repeat mistakes because they haven't really listened to life and don't listen to the lesson. You're destined to make the same mistake again. Have you ever heard someone say, "I knew I shouldn't have trusted so-and-so," or "I can't believe I fell for that again"? These people were suffering the consequences of not listening to what life was telling them. So how do we learn to really listen? It's all about understanding and learning to control our consciousness. The wonderful psychiatrist and writer on psychology and mysticism, Arthur J. Dyckman, talked about two modes of consciousness. The first is the action mode, in which we act upon the environment. In action mode, it's all about us as separate from the world and other people around us. Action mode is all about doing, getting, manipulating, whatever it takes to get our needs met. It's the part of the human being that's fundamentally set up for biological survival. It's the part of us that's in a hurry, that objectifies the world and the self, that likes to categorize and automate experience. You've seen one oak tree, you've seen them all. And it's the part of us that, because we're separate from the world and others, laments getting old and the prospect of dying, because its primary role is that of acquisition, of furthering our own agenda with no consideration of how we fit into the greater scheme of things. It's the basis of survival, but it's also the basis of many weaknesses and vices. It's an essential part of consciousness, but for some it seems to be the only part of their consciousness. For most of us, however, there is another mode, at least some of the time. The receptive mode is more merged with the people and things around us. The boundaries between ourselves and our surroundings are less compartmentalized. Dyckman calls this the receptive mode because, in the terms I'm describing here, It has more to do with listening to life than trying to talk at it. Much of the time we aren't listening to life, and this can make us feel that life has little meaning or that we're disconnected from it. Say I'm at the seaside. In survival action mode, I might be thinking about what I have to do next, playing with my phone, replaying a difficult conversation I had with a co-worker and feeling indignant, musing over the fact that the oil gauge in my car doesn't seem to be working, wondering whether I should take it to the garage to be fixed. What do I have to do? How must I act upon the world? But while that part of me is busy talking, the golden stirring sands, the sparkling blue sea, the quietly ebbing tide, they're also communicating. But I'm not listening. Not until I still that inner survival action mode and enter receptive mode. Only then can I listen to what reality is telling me, right now. The action mode is wonderful and vital in many ways, but unless we learn to master it and develop the capacity to switch modes, we can spend our whole lives absent from where we actually are. We can waste our one precious life not listening to what life is telling us. Just to illustrate these two modes a bit more, imagine you have a plane to catch and you're late. You're driving in heavy traffic. You're completely focused on acting upon the environment. Your consciousness is object-like, localized, separate. Other drivers are nothing more than objects to be negotiated, and you are fundamentally separate from them. Your awareness is self-centered and object-centered. The world is out there to be manipulated for your gain. The emphasis is on objects, distinctions, and linear causality. Okay, so you arrive at the airport late and finally catch your plane. But no sooner have you sat down on the plane than you need to start frantically writing out a work report that desperately needs to be finished by the time the plane touches down. Next thing you know, you arrive in a strange city, take the subway, and finally make it to your hotel room. You flop down in the bed and decide to take a bath. Now you want to relax, to unwind, to be comforted after all that object consciousness and all the stress that came with it. So you fill that bathtub with steaming hot water, ease your body into it, lie back and relax. Imagine it's a really great hotel with scented candles and bubble bath. It feels so good. And as you rest back in the soothing warmth of the bathtub, your consciousness shifts. Your muscles relax. You flow into receptive consciousness. And finally, you're able to listen, with every sense, to your experience. You're able to truly receive the environment. Boundaries relax, past and future drop away. The sensual takes over from verbal meanings. The formal properties of life start to blur. Thinking slows down, and you feel yourself merge with the water, the tub, the walls and shapes around you. And as those boundaries soften, the sense of self becomes less distinct. Making it happen is replaced with letting it happen. As the object self subsides and relinquishes control, the aspects of your receptive listening self can emerge. In receptive mode, you're receiving the environment. You are, in a sense, listening to life as it happens. The self is non-distinct from the environment. There's a sense of merging of boundaries and a world-centered rather than a self-centered awareness. Sometimes when I'm seeing a client, I notice that I've switched from object-focused awareness to receptive awareness. And when this happens, when I feel more merged with the client, rapport and insight seem to happen naturally. I'm no longer trying to build rapport or have a certain response happen. It's just happening on its own. That's when I know I'm doing my best work. Often, we're so stuck in object mode that even if we take a trip away from work and home, it may take a few days to start actually being where we are. Slowing down and really listening to what these new surroundings are showing and telling us about life. We shift into this listening mode when we paint or play music. We let it happen. An artist lets what is there speak. They let it communicate to them. And just as it's important for an artist not to try too hard to create a good painting, a great sports person must also get into the zone by listening and letting the immediate reality speak to them. They need to know how to respond without letting thinking slow them down. When people meditate or enter hypnotic trance, they too can truly listen without trying to grasp or shape reality in their usual survival object manipulation mode. So-called control freaks will often find it really hard to relinquish survival object consciousness and to switch to receptive consciousness. Treating reality as if it's there just to be grasped, acted upon, and manipulated can make us feel unfulfilled. Life can come to feel meaningless as we go through it, never really thinking about how our actions affect others or our environment. But, whether we know it or not, often we choose not to listen to disconfirming feedback that doesn't match our need to control and act. We may not even realize why we feel so unfulfilled. The critical difference between the two modes, action survival mode and receptive listening mode, is intention. Our intention when we act on the environment, whether that's to get through traffic, to make a good impression on someone or anything else, is all about control. But to receive and listen to the environment, whether that's a forest or a person talking to you, we have to let go of that control, to merge with our environment, to allow what will be to be. But why does this matter? Well, just as action mode is associated with the understanding of objects, separation, cause and effect, manipulation, sharp borders, the receptive mode of consciousness is more about understanding reality in a broader sense. Reality is allowed to speak to you. This gives you access to knowledge of a different sort, intuitive hunches, leaps of insight, eureka moments of understanding. While the groundwork for these kinds of realization may have been laid in action mode, is the receptive listening mode that allows the fruits of this kind of knowledge to be communicated to you. In childhood, we probably have much more open access to receptive consciousness, but as we age, we learn to see our bodies as objects, others as separate from us, and the world as something to be acted upon rather than received. And as we splice and dice reality up into little pieces, we're in danger of losing this other part of ourselves. This can eventually lead to confusion, the sense that something's missing, a diminished perception of the reality of our relationships with others and indeed of life itself. When a person becomes very controlling and obsessive, they're overusing the object mode. Conversely, when someone is totally receptive, they may lose touch with reality or be terribly disorganized. We need to listen to life, but we also need to act in life. For most of us, meaning comes from connection and relationships. But this is totally at odds with the modern obsession with object consciousness, separating and breaking things apart in order to manipulate them. When you look at it like this, it's little wonder that for many, life can start to feel meaningless. For good mental health, we need flexibility, the ability to go from object to receptive consciousness and back again. Most activities require a blend of both modes of perception, and the ability to make use of both modes, where and when necessary, is vital to a healthy life. Let's try shifting from action mode to receptive mode right now. Focus on an object, say a vase or a mug. Now let's start by looking at it in your action mode. Look at the surface of the side closest to you. This is the way we look at an object when we're about to grasp it, to do something with it. Feel your intention to pick it up, to manipulate it, to be about to lift it up and move it somewhere. Okay, you can stand down. Now I want you to look at the same object, but this time, get a sense of the far side of it as well as the side facing you. Really focus on the reality of the other side of that object, of its entirety. Allow yourself to feel that object, just communicating its reality to you. Feel yourself listening to it in your mind. Forget what people have called it, it's just a made-up name. Just let the light from it travel into your eyes. Appreciate this thing not as a type of thing, but as something uniquely itself. In the entire universe, there's only one of this exact thing in this exact place. Maybe you can even get a sense of the underside of it, the top, the sides. You can't see them with your eyes, but get a sense of the reality nonetheless. Imagine yourself cradling that object, just allowing it to be in your hands, rather than grasping it to make it do anything. Work on just remembering that there are these two modes of perception, both vital in different ways, and realizing that sometimes we're in danger in inhabiting one kind of consciousness when another's required. I might suggest that you practice this every day. At the risk of sounding like a far-out hippie again, just let an everyday object speak to you by focusing on it. First with the intention of picking it up and manipulating it, just focusing on the near side, then switching to receptive mode and getting a sense of the object in its entirety, even those aspects you can't see. You might even want to defocus your eyes a little and just allow the colours to transfer from the object into your eyes and mind. This simple practice, though it lasts only a couple of minutes, can make better listeners of us all. And we do all need to listen, I think. So I hope you found this interesting and useful, and to listen to other audio insights, check out the Hypnosis Downloads members section where they're all archived, over 50 of them now. Members of the Growth Zone get access to all the downloads on the site and exclusive members-only downloads. I'm Roger Elliott of Uncommon Knowledge. I hope you enjoyed this audio insight from hypnosisdownloads.com, and thanks for listening.